Well, good morning, everybody. I'm really delighted to be with you today. And I wasn't really supposed to be here. But yet, this morning, I really feel I'm supposed to be here. So we just praise the Lord. I was supposed to be somewhere else, and then for various reasons. Is that me or is it somebody else? Oh, it's the screen. I was supposed to be somewhere else, but for various reasons that didn't work out. And I'm praying about what I should do with this Sunday and thinking about various churches that are beginning to open up. And the Lord said to me, reading about the feeding of the 5,000, and the words hit me really powerfully, "You give them something to eat." So I phoned my friend Larry here, and he said, "Sure, you come over." And I'm grateful to the elders for allowing me to do that. So it's a privilege to be with you folks today. And I thank you for your prayers for our ministry. I've been as busy as ever, COVID or no COVID. And one of the things we've been doing, believing at the call of the Lord to do it, is that I'm doing a 10-minute evangelistic message on YouTube every Tuesday. And I've done about 19 of those so far. And the response has been very, very positive. And the one thing that's been happening that I'm particularly thrilled about is that friends that are receiving the link for these messages are sending the link to friends and other contacts that they have. And we believe that a lot of people are hearing the gospel through these 10-minute messages on YouTube. And you don't need me to tell you, if you know anything about technology, that YouTube's the kind of thing you never know who's tuning in. And so I just believe, because I'm sure God called me to do this, that when we get to heaven one day, we're going to meet people that heard the gospel in these YouTube messages. I really believe that. So praise God for what he's doing. Amen. The other thing I wanted to say to you, if you're anything like me, you will be deeply concerned about what goes on in our city here in Victoria. The homeless situation and all the needs, and it's a huge, huge thing. And I don't want to get into all of the politics behind all of that stuff, but I just wanted to say to you, I have a very dear friend who runs a ministry to young people on the streets of Victoria. It's called Sanctuary Youth. It's based out of Church of Our Lord, a fellow called Darren Reimer. And Darren's doing a phenomenal work. And if you ever feel led of the Lord to contribute to what's going on in ministering to young people who are in desperate need. We just heard recently of a young guy who died as a result of an overdose and so on, and he's from a Christian family. And I just can't imagine the heartbreak of his parents. And Darren and his colleagues are doing a phenomenal job. So if you like to pray for them, and if you wanted to contribute to their support by taking clothing to them or financial gifts as the Lord might lead you, that would be wonderful. So I hope you don't mind me mentioning that. So getting back to the purpose of being here, it's great to be with you. And I want to read with you from 1 Thessalonians today. 1 Thessalonians. Now, just while you're finding that, we're going to read in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. In fact, I'm going to read the entire chapter. And what I wanted to say to you is this. At this time in my life, I was saying to my older son recently on Skype, I was saying to him, as I'm getting older, was the comment I made. He said, "Dad, you are old." Very encouraging, my sons are. Anyway, but when you get to my time in life and you think, you know, what's really important now? What's really important at this time? And the thing that God has really laid on me more than anything else is the bigness, the hugeness of what we Christians talk about when we talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world to be our Savior. And you combined with that, the fact that he rose from the dead and he's coming back again one day. Now, I don't know if it ever hits you, but it's been really, really hitting me powerfully in recent months. This awesomeness of what Almighty God has done. The creator of the universe, and you and I created in his image, and he Mankind rebelled against God, as you know, and mankind has sunk to the most abominable levels. We were reminded of this, my wife and I, yesterday. We had a friend in our home who's not a believer in Jesus by any stretch of the imagination. And we were talking about, we knew this person's family fairly well, and always thought of them as being very respectable, etc., etc. And we were learning yesterday some things that have gone on in that family that would break your heart and cause you to just be very, very sad indeed. The effects of sin and rebellion against God, etc., etc., absolutely appalling. And people, when we think of all these things, and you don't need me to tell you the state of our world today, but I just want to remind you by the Lord's help today of the hugeness of what we are talking about. That Almighty God, against whom mankind has rebelled in sin, that Almighty God became one of us in the person of His Son Jesus. That is a miracle, an amazing thing. And that the reality and truth of that was demonstrated when Jesus came as a man, lived the life that He did live on this planet. Everything He did, everything He said, demonstrated that He was the Son of God. There never has been anyone on this planet like Jesus. Nobody has ever impacted the world like Jesus has and still is. And that He lived that life that He lived. And then He went to the cross, and He died in our place, and He took the sin of the world upon Himself, and took the judgment of God instead of us. And to demonstrate the reality of that, and the truth of it, He rose from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus, I've said this to you before, but if that's not true, we're all wasting our time this morning. But it is true. Jesus, historically, rose from the dead, praise God. Now that is an immense thing to think about. And His resurrection from the dead demonstrated once for all who He is. That He is the Son of God, the one who died for us, rose again, that He might reconcile us to God. And people, hear me this morning, that is the best news any human being could ever hear. That you can be reconciled to your Creator God, and you can live a new life completely, knowing your sins are forgiven and knowing that you have a glorious hope for the future. And that's kind of what I want to home in on this morning. Because it just thrills me. That's one of the things that set me going and praying and thinking about doing the YouTube talks. Was people kept saying they're looking for hope. They're looking for meaning. I want to tell you people, when you know Jesus, COVID or no COVID, you have the most glorious hope you could ever think about. And so we're going to read about that and think about it this morning. So in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 is what I want to concentrate on. And let me just remind you, if you read sometime, and I commend it to you, that you read chapter 4, where we read about the rapture of the church. Now, let me just pause for a minute to explain what I'm talking about there. The rapture of the church. You never read the word rapture in the Bible, but the phrase means to be caught up. And you do read that word and that concept in the harpazio, to be caught up to be with the Lord. It was Jesus introduced it in John's Gospel, where He was the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And in that context of John 14, He talked about going to prepare a place for His followers. And He said, "If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself." And then Paul further elaborates on that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 13 onwards particularly. And these Thessalonian Christians, who incidentally came to the Lord when Paul visited their city, you'll read about it in Acts chapter 17. And I love to read those words in Acts 17, the first few verses. And you find that under severe persecution, it wasn't an easy job. You know, he didn't sort of mosey into Thessalonica and have an open-air meeting or something, and everybody was really happy about it. It was under really serious persecution and hardship. He preached the message of the gospel, And people responded in faith to Christ. And people of all walks of life, that's the thrilling thing about it. Jews, Gentiles, all kinds of people responded to the message of the gospel. And that's what I love about this. All people matter to God. Amen? God so loved the entire world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but will have everlasting life. And when Paul preached the gospel there in Thessalonica, wonderful things happened, and God has saved people, their lives were transformed, a church was planted there, and these people had an amazing testimony. Their testimony you find in the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, where he says, you turned to God from idols. That means you turned your back on your old life, you repented of your sin, in other words, you forsook your old life of self-centeredness and sin, and all the horrible stuff that was involved in idolatry, to serve the living and the true God. Now, that doesn't mean you became religious and you went to church every Sunday and got bored to death by just doing that. No, it means to serve the living and the true God. It means surrendering your life to Jesus Christ as a disciple, where he is supreme, he is Lord of all in your life, where you give up all rights to yourself, to Jesus. And he becomes Lord, and he transforms your life completely. That was what to serve the living and the true God really meant. And that's when you read about these Thessalonians, you discover that they, under severe persecution, they trusted Christ. It was a costly thing, which demonstrates how real it was. So he said, your testimony is that you turn to God from idols, to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. To wait for his Son from heaven. In other words, you got this hope that he's coming back again to take you home. And he said, to wait for your Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Whom he raised from the dead. Eve, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Now, these are incredible words, people. That these are incredible things. They remind us of several things, and I just, in passing to say this, that this transformation in these people's lives was so powerful and so dynamic that they were given this incredible hope for the future. And that one of the wonderful things about that hope is that they are now rescued, saved from the wrath to come. Now, people, hear me. This is a serious business. And I want to say to us who are Christians, I become more convinced than ever as I get older, and I think of how powerful these things are, that a lot of people who call themselves Christians don't really believe half of what they say they believe. I want to say to you people, if you really believe today that Jesus could come back again at any moment, it would radically affect your whole lifestyle. If we really believed that, there would be less of this selfish ambition, less selfish agendas, etc., etc. All we would want to do would be right with God and right with one another, believing that one day we're going to stand before the Lord. And if we're believers, and we'll come to that in a moment, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged for our sin, because that's already been done, but to be given rewards for service. And if I'm wasting my life with unforgiven sin in my life, if I'm wasting my life with bad attitudes, with immorality, with all kinds of things going on in my life that are grieving to the Holy Spirit of God, and then I come before the Lord one day and I've been thinking I've been serving the Lord, and it all gets burned up like wood, hay, and straw, people. Listen to me. The thing that will stand the test at the judgment seat of Christ, nothing else. It's only the reproduction of the life of Jesus in you and through you. Amen? That is what it's all about. And when these people, they turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus who rose from the dead and who rescues us from the wrath to come. Hey, people, it doesn't get any better than that. Amen? That is pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. So In that kind of context, you get to chapter 4, and Paul talks about, he's answering some questions for them, you see. Obviously, as we'll see in a moment, he had been teaching them a lot about the coming of the Lord, but they had questions. The Lord hadn't come back yet, and some of their number had died, so what's happening to them? So Paul says, don't worry. He elaborates on what Jesus had already taught, and he says to them, don't worry about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as others who have no hope. And then he goes on to tell them that when Jesus comes back for his people, the dead in Christ, those who have already died, will be caught up, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and hallelujah, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, people, can I say to you, I know that when you talk about things like this, there are various opinions. I am sick to death of hearing opinions about the Word of God. Now, I know I'm not claiming to have it all right all the time. God's got a lot to teach me, trust me. But when we come to this, we need to get beyond opinions. We need to listen to what is God saying. Not what do I think about what God's saying, but what is God saying? And God's saying Jesus is coming back again to take us to be forever with himself. And as one great Bible teacher in the UK said years ago, if you don't believe in the rapture, he said, I'll explain it to you on the way up. Jesus is coming to take his people home. And we read more about it in 1 Corinthians 15, where it talks there, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Amen? And we're going to be forever with the Lord. Now, people, these are immense things to think about. And just to get the seriousness of it, that's why I'm reading now from chapter 5. So let's read it. We've taken a long time to get there. But let's read from 1 Thessalonians 5. And he's just been talking about the church being caught up and says, therefore comfort one another with these words. Now he says, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains on a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night or of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete and without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss, and I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. A tremendous chapter in God's Word. And when we think of what we just said earlier about the rapture of the church, being caught up to be forever with the Lord, Paul now goes on to another aspect of all of that. And he's saying to them, now you've about all the times and seasons, etc., you've no need for anybody to tell you any more, because Paul had already been teaching these things, and a lot of these people would know from the Old Testament what the Word of God had already said prophetically. For example, this phrase he uses here, the day of the Lord. You can, I challenge you, go to Joel chapter 2, just one scripture in the Old Testament, and to see what is involved in the day of the Lord. And he's talking about something completely different now. And when you read that phrase in the day of the Lord in God's Word, it always refers to judgment and wrath. And it's going to be a terrible time when the day of the Lord arrives here on this planet. Now notice what Paul's saying. He's already said about the church having been caught up and taken to be forever with the Lord. And now he's saying, talking about something else, that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Now, who is he talking about? Who is it going to be a thief in the night for? Now, watch how he puts this here. This is important. The pronouns that he uses are very important here. He says, while they are saying, those who are left. Now, the church has gone now. Amen? The church has gone. We're forever with the Lord. Those who are left, they're going to be saying, peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them. They're going to be living like it was in the days of Noah, as Jesus said. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were living like there was no God. And all of a sudden, God's judgment came. And that's going to be what it's going to be like, people. And the reason I'm emphasizing this today is because these are very, very solemn things. These are things that are going to come upon this world one day. The day of the Lord, a day of terrible wrath and judgment. Now, please, I'm saying this with all the love that God can give me. People, we don't. If you're a believer in Jesus today, you won't be here when that happens. You won't be here when that happens, praise God. Otherwise, because, and I'll elaborate, I'm getting on ahead of myself here. He talks about the day of the Lord. He said it will come just like a thief in the night. Well, they're saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains on a woman with child. Now, there are going to be signs before the great day of the Lord happens. The coming of the Lord for his people could happen at any moment. At any moment. No signs required. It's just he's coming back to take us home. But when it comes to the day of the Lord, that's another matter. And they're going to be living like it never is going to happen, in disbelief and rebellion against God. And it will come on them suddenly like labor pains on a woman with child. But notice verse 4. But you, brethren, you're not in the darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all the sons of light and the sons of day. You're not of the night, nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. It's a wonderful thing that tells us clearly what it means to be a Christian. When you know Jesus as your Savior, dear people, let me remind you, you are not of the darkness. You, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief, for you are all the sons of light and the sons of the day. Let me say to you again, let me say, if you're in any doubt today as to whether or not you really know Jesus, let me tell you this. When you really know Jesus, you've had such a transformation in your life that it's like coming out of darkness into light. Have you ever been away from home and you're in a strange bedroom somewhere and you have to get up in the middle of the night, and because you don't know your way around, you're stumbling around, you stub your toe on something or other, and you just don't know where you're going. And then, but when the light goes on, now there's so many people in our world today, they don't know where they're going, they've no hope, they just don't know what it's all about. People, when you know Jesus, let me say this, Acts chapter 26, out of darkness into light, from the power of Satan to God, it's a complete turnaround. When you know Jesus as your Savior, Paul tells us it's like being a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's what it's all about, praise God. And we're children of light, not of the darkness. And so, when nothing's going to take us by surprise, you know, we're looking for the Lord. He could come at any moment, but when it comes to the day of the Lord, a lot of people are going to be taken by surprise. They're going to be taken by surprise. And I just feel so burdened about this today. So he's saying to us who are believers, how should we be living? We should be living as men and women who are really children of light. Living people who are alive to God. Amen? What are our friends need? The person who was in our home yesterday, Isabel and I prayed with this individual. The heartbreak that's been in her family is just unbelievable. And the only way that somebody can change is for somebody like that to have real hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Real hope. And so, he says, but since we are of the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, here's the bit I want to concentrate on for a moment or two. And this is important. This is why I'm saying the day of the Lord is a day of wrath. It's a day of God's judgment. And it's coming upon this world one day, a terrible day. Jesus said in Matthew 24, read about it there. And he's quoting there again from the prophets, Joel and other prophets in the Old Testament. Jesus says there's coming a day of tribulation, the like of which has never happened before and will never happen again. It's going to be an unbelievably appalling time in the history of this world. And so some of our so-called world leaders are going to get an awful shock one day when they think they're going to become, the man of sin, it talks about the man of sin, the Antichrist, who's going to come upon the earth and after the church is gone. And let me just say this too, by the way. When you go to chapter, the 2 Thessalonians, and chapter 2, and he talks there about what he calls the mystery of lawlessness and so on. He's already at work until he is taken out of the way. And he's talking about who's taken out of the way. He's talking about the Holy Spirit in the church. When the church is gone and the Holy Spirit is gone from this world, it says in verse 8 of 2 Thessalonians 2, then the Antichrist, the lawless one, will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. The Lord won't even need an army to do it. The Lord will just blow him away. You talk about being blown away? This man, the Antichrist, one day is going to be blown away, literally. The breath of his mouth. People, don't you say hallelujah right now? Our God is sovereign. Our God is sovereign. This thing, COVID-19, has caused so many people to ask so many questions. This little bug that nobody can even see has brought the whole world to a standstill. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. But our God is sovereign. Our God is sovereign. And at the end of the day, God is going to have the last word. And we praise him for that. And when the church is gone, then the lawless one will be revealed. And so he's saying to us who call ourselves believers, then for we ought to be people who are living as being alive from the dead. Living with God. Those who've turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, to wait for his Son from heaven. And he says in back to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, and he's saying here in down at verse 9, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." The day of the Lord that he's talking about is going to be a dreadful day of wrath and judgment, but praise God, as if you're a believer in Jesus, you're not destined for wrath. Amen? You're not. You're going to be taken to be forever with the Lord. And that is what our hope is as believers. Obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people, let me emphasize this next two words. Who died? Who died for us? So that whether we are awake or asleep. Now, when he talks about awake or asleep here, he's talking back about what he's saying in chapter 4. Those who are asleep in the Lord Jesus right now. Those who are alive and remain when Jesus comes. We're going to be caught up together. Amen? Whether we're awake or asleep, whether we're dead in Christ or alive, we're going to be caught up to be forever with the Lord. And so, whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. We'll live together with Him. Therefore, he says, now people, just before I go any further, as I was mentioning those two words, or four words, who died for us? People, think about that. I ask you, go through the rest of this day and meditate on those words. In the world in which we live, to point men and women to Jesus is the greatest privilege any human being could ever have. Jesus, who died for us, and as we've seen, and who rose again from the dead. It's a momentous thing. Jesus, God manifest in flesh, died for us on that cross, that we might be reconciled to God, that we might have this incredible hope. We're no longer looking for the wrath of God. We're looking forward to being forever with the Lord. And this is an awesome thought. So, therefore, he says, encourage one another. And that word encourage is the very same word that you get at the end of chapter 4, where he says, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one, encourage one another. You know, when we talk about being brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you think of COVID-19 and it's... Well, as I was saying to somebody earlier, it's bad enough as it is, but if we didn't have technology and we didn't have things like Zoom and all that good stuff, it would be an awful lot worse. And people, we need, as believers, do everything we can to encourage one another in these days, to comfort one another. There's so much anxiety in our world today. There's so much fear. So much fear. But if we know the Lord Jesus, amen, we have this incredible, certain hope for the future. And we've every reason to encourage each other, to share scripture with one another, to pray with one another, to just encourage one another in the Lord. It's a huge thing. Now, how can that happen? Just in the last few minutes, let me share this with you. A couple of thoughts here. If these momentous things are going to come upon this world, the day of the Lord, etc., the rapture of the church, and these momentous things are happening in our day, we request you, brethren, appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord. He's talking here about elders of local churches, people who shepherd the people of God, who give instruction, who teach the word. Now, people, let me say to you today, can I remind you, I haven't got time to go into all of this today, but when you think of what the New Testament says about being elders in churches, like in 1 Timothy chapter 3, for example, you don't become an elder as a hobby. It's not a hobby. If you're an elder, you will not, there's nothing else in your life, including your career, that's more important than that. Where you have the responsibility of shepherding the people of God and teaching them in the ways of God and ministering to them and dealing with all kinds of people. You're over them in the Lord. You're instructing them to esteem them because of their work. Live in peace with one another. There's a thought. My wife and I were just reading last night. If I've got anybody, if I've got a brother in the Lord who's got something against me, I've got to go and put that right. You see the kind of thing we're talking about here? People, let's get our priorities right. It's not a question of what I want. It's not a question of my self-will. It's living my life in harmony with God's people, living at peace with one another, so that He is glorified, and everything we do as believers is a testimony to our world of the reality of our hope in Christ. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? All kinds of people who have got problems and challenges, they need to be cared for and ministered to, rebuked sometimes, corrected sometimes, encouraged sometimes. All in the name of the Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be patient with everyone. There's a challenge. Reminds me of the late Mr. Chapman of Barnstable in England, and somebody was moaning to him one day about some brother in the church, and he said what a nuisance this brother was. He was creating problems for everybody. And Mr. Chapman said, he's a very valuable brother, this. He said, we never realized how much we need patience until he came among us. Isn't that the truth? I'm amazed at how patient people are with me, especially my wife. People, this is what it's all about, you see. And you get what I'm saying to you. This patience and this living at peace with one another, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. You don't just decide, I'm going to be patient. You're going to say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. You are my patience. You are my peace. You live your peace and your patience through me, Lord. Amen? That's the key to the whole thing. Living at being patient with one another, not repaying evil for evil, but always seeking after that which is good for one another and for all people, just to bless each other. Who cares, folks, if you're justified? Who cares? Just let it go. Let it go. Just give it to the Lord. He'll look after the details. I can remember, I'll not go into the details right now, but I went through a very difficult time with a brother years and years ago when I was a young guy. Or a lot younger than I am now, anyway. And an older man said to me, he said, Clayton, leave it with the Lord. He will vindicate you in the end. And I'm looking back on that from many years ago, and I want to tell you, I can't tell you how true that is. Amen? I have a great relationship to this day with that man and his family. It is a beautiful thing. And it's something that only the Lord can do. People, hear me. If you've turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, anything's possible in your life. Amen? You will not need to be bogged down by this world and all its trials and tribulations. In fact, you'll get to the stage as we come to here, and I've told you this before, and I'm not going to elaborate on it again. But from verse 16 onwards, has been a game changer in my life in the last number of years. Just think about this. Rejoice always. Like I said to you, when the Lord showed me that in a new way, I said to the Lord, you've got to be kidding, Lord. You don't know what's going on in my life now and you're telling me to rejoice? Get real. No, the Lord says, rejoice always. If you believe what I've just been telling you, you believe, you get everything in perspective from a divine point of view, from the point of view of eternity. You will be able to rejoice always, no matter what's going on, COVID or no COVID. Praise the Lord. He is Lord. Amen? Rejoice always. And pray without ceasing. Going through each day, everything that's happening, just talk to the Lord all the time. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. There's always something to be thankful for. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. If I'm not doing these things, I'm a disobedient Christian. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And he says, and don't quench the Holy Spirit. If I'm not doing these things, you see, I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to do in me and through me all that he wants to do. And one of the things he wants to do is to be so real in me and through me that this glorious hope that I have for the future becomes more real and more precious every day. When I'm not quenching the Holy Spirit, not despising prophetic utterances. You don't swallow everything without question. He says you examine everything carefully. He says you hold fast to that which is good and you abstain from every appearance of evil. I was sitting in, this person who was in our home yesterday, and as this person was relating to us some of the things that had gone on in our family, I was overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude to God for his grace. Amen. I want to say, if you're a young Christian today and you've been brought up in a Christian home, you better thank God for that, because you don't realize what you've been saved from. You need to thank God every day for Christian parents, for a Christian family. Because abstaining from every form of evil, when you think of the mess that some families are in, some individuals are in. Thank God for the grace of God. By grace we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. What an awesome thing that is. And so, he goes on and you realize, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Your whole spirit, soul, and body, the real you, everything that you are, sanctified, set apart for God. Be preserved complete and without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not ashamed before him at his coming, as John says. Faithful is he who calls you. He also will bring it to pass. Hey, people, if you don't believe me, you try it. Amen? Christian brother or sister today, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you try it. Rejoice always. Just do it. Just do it and see what God will do in your life. Now, this is a bit anti-COVID bit here. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We've got to do the social distancing. And you miss all these hugs and handshakes, don't you? But praise God, when you know Jesus, we love one another, don't we? Amen? We love one another. Oh, people, there's nothing like it to belong to the body of Christ, to know Jesus, to know you have this hope for the future. There's nothing like it. And as I just look into your faces today, I just want you to know, brothers and sisters, those are all of you sitting, I love you with all my heart. I just love you. God loving you through me. We love one another because we know Jesus. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. So I'm praying today that every one of us here will be looking forward to the coming of the Lord. That perhaps today we could be taken to be with him and caught up to be forever with the Lord. What a glorious prospect. And that every part of my life to be colored with that hope and that thought. And that if I'm not sure about it yet, oh, I beg of you, turn to God from your idols. Turn to God from your sin. Surrender your whole life to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And begin to wait for his Son from heaven. having that living hope for all eternity. Do it, people. If I can help you afterwards, please come and talk. Social distancing involved, but we can talk and share and we can pray together. But God bless His word today. Let's pray. Father, we're just amazed, we're staggered at what You've done for us through the Lord Jesus. We are truly amazed, Father, at what You've accomplished because of these amazing words that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will never perish, but will have everlasting life. Whoever believes in Him will not look forward to wrath, but will have life and hope in Jesus. Lord, I just pray that these things will be more real to us today than ever before, and that we'll go on our way, as Your word tells us, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Father, thank You. Bless Your word today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.